Hello and welcome to the SWP podcast with the latest research from the German Institute for International and Security Affairs, or SWP, here in Berlin. It's January 21st, 2021, and after a rocky few months, Joe Biden has just been inaugurated as US president, and the world's been watching on, wondering just how Washington's foreign policy will now change. So, today we are asking, what will a Biden administration mean for one particularly challenging relationship for Europe, the EU's ties with Turkey? I'm Damian McGuinness, Berlin correspondent for the BBC, and joining me today we have two Turkey experts from both sides of the Atlantic, down the line from Madrid, where she is Professor of European Political Science and European Affairs Analyst, is Dr. İlker Toygur. She is a non-resident fellow at the Centre for Applied Turkish Studies at the SWP here in Berlin, and specialises in European politics as well as Turkish politics and foreign policy. Great you could join us here today, İlker.
Thank you very much, Damian.
And from the other side of the Atlantic, with the American perspective, we have Alan Makovsky in Washington. Alan is a longtime analyst of Turkish and Middle Eastern affairs, and like İlker, is also a non-resident fellow at the SWP's Centre for Applied Turkish Studies. He's previously worked at the US State Department and at the Foreign Affairs Committee of the US House of Representatives. Nice to have you here too, Alan.
Thanks for inviting me, Damian.
Now, there's been an awful lot going on in Washington over the last few months, and that's really putting it mildly. So just remind us very briefly, why is it so important right now to talk about Ankara's relationship with the West? İlker, can you give me, first of all, from the EU's perspective, why is Turkey so crucial right now?
Turkey is a neighbour, long-standing partner, NATO ally, and a candidate country for accession. And in addition to that, there's a large Turkish diaspora in the EU. I would say there is so much interdependency between the two. And in addition to that, there are many policy areas that to collaborate and very intensely, I should say, be it the economy and trade, be it migration cooperation, fight against terrorism or energy. Turkey and the EU are constantly in close contact for all these issues.
So it's a tricky relationship, but it's an essential one then. Alan, give us the US view. Why does Turkey matter so much right now for Washington?
For the US, it boils down to three words, what the real estate people like Donald Trump would call location, location, location. It's about Turkey's geostrategic location. In the post-Cold War world, the late Richard Holbrooke once said that Turkey is at the center of every issue of importance to the United States on the Eurasian continent, particularly crises into which the U.S. might intervene, crises in which the U.S. feels that some national interest is at stake. I think another reason Turkey is important to the United States as an ally is frankly because of its overwhelming Muslim majority. Having a Muslim majority nation on the side of the U.S. alliance helps to give some local legitimacy to those operations. And I think that's why, in particular in Afghanistan, Turkey has been seen as such a crucial partner.
So you can't get around Turkey geographically, and you certainly can't get around Turkey in security terms then?
That's right. Geographics and demographics. Okay. It's got them both.
Okay, well, in a minute, we're going to discuss what the new Biden administration will mean now for Europe's relationship with Turkey. But first, let's very briefly get a bit of background about the situation so far. So, Alan, can you please just very briefly outline how Washington's relationship with Turkey is likely to change compared to what we've seen under Trump so far?
First of all, I have to say that Trump and Biden could not be more different. Biden's a liberal internationalist. He believes in institutions. Trump was a nationalist populist and in many ways an isolationist who tended to tear down all of the post-Cold War institutions. Trump also conducted a very personalized foreign policy with Turkey. He seemed to admire Erdogan and protect the relationship whenever he could, including taking such extraordinary steps as interfering with judicial processes in the United States for a long time, well over 2 years, not implementing sanctions that should have been applied to Turkey, Biden will look much more at the U.S. national interest, and I think he will be seen as a more as a traditional foreign policy president who will emphasize such factors as human rights and rule of law. That's who he is.
And of course, Biden has a lot of experience with Turkey, doesn't he?
He certainly does. He has a long history of involvement with Turkey. He visited it many times when he was vice president. These were not always visits that President Erdogan enjoyed very much. Biden met with dissidents when he visited. On another occasion, he was the administration emissary after the attempted coup in 2016, of which Erdogan thought was planned by the United States, or at least that the United States was deeply involved in. He knows Erdogan well, he knows Turkey well, and this is somebody who is coming to office with the most interest in foreign policy of any Democratic president since John Kennedy.
Ilka, I wonder if you could give us a bit more background on how Erdogan views this changeover from Trump to Biden.
I think President Biden is less friendly compared to President Trump when it comes to the personal relationship, because we all know that President Trump and President Erdogan had a very personal relationship, even personalized foreign policy making, while undervaluing the usual foreign policy making institutions in that regard. Nonetheless, he is ready to put the differences behind and try to work as effectively as possible.
So he's feeling pragmatic about what's coming next in Washington then?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so Ilka, I wonder if you could now give us a bit more about the European perspective. How is the EU's relationship with Turkey right now?
I would say that the tensions in Eastern Mediterranean have been at the center of the debate for the last months. This is a piece of the broader discussion of security and stability in the EU's immediate neighborhood. The situation in Syria, Libya, Nagorno-Karabakh, all examples of Turkey's regional ambitions, and they all have direct or indirect impact on the EU. Turkey being a foreign policy challenge in the neighborhood has been the most important issue for the European Council. I even included discussions of containment, which is quite interesting when thinking that we are talking about a NATO ally here. It's clear that a new settlement on illegal migration management is needed, and I think this is going to be one of the first items on the agenda in the coming months. If I want to sum up a bit, I think Turkey and the EU are still soul searching to define their relationship, and I think the following months and years are going to be crucial in defining the direction.
But if you look at what's happening right now, one senior Biden advisor has said that the new president will coordinate with the EU about Washington's new approach to Turkey. What do you think that would mean in reality? Is there anything concrete there, or is that just talk?
For me, first of all, the EU and the US should define their common interests when it comes to relations with Turkey. Biden presidency will strengthen the Western alliance right from the start. And I think the lack of unity between the United States and the EU was one of the key factors behind the perception of a power vacuum that so many, including Turkey, tried to fill. So if Biden embraces transatlantic relations, that would mean that the Turkish benefiting from the friction between Washington and Brussels will end.
Absolutely. Together, they have tremendous leverage over Turkey. Most of Turkey's exports go to the EU, and a majority of the foreign direct investment in Turkey comes from the EU. The United States remains a critical partner for Turkey, I think, for many reasons. Strategically, Turkey's military remains largely based on Western and particularly U.S. weaponry. Together, they have a lot of leverage.
Independent of all the collaboration between the EU and the U.S., the European Union itself should invest in strategic threat assessment and building a common European foreign and security policy. This is clearly pending on the agenda in general, but also when it comes to relations with Turkey in particular.
Coordination is ideal. I think it's difficult to achieve, and I don't think it's something that the U.S. is planning to wait for. Traditionally, it doesn't wait for the EU. The U.S. under Biden expects to have the leading role as a traditionally has. Biden said, I want the U.S. at the head of the table again. He wrote an article, Why America Must Lead Again. I think when the U.S. makes its fundamental policy decisions about Turkey, these decisions will likely be made with reference to the EU, but certainly without any veto from the EU.
But given the huge challenges domestically that President Biden will now face, you know, we're talking the pandemic, huge economic problems, great big political rift within the country. Is he even going to have the time, attention, the focus needed to relook at foreign policy and relations with Turkey in particular?
Yes, I think he will. Foreign policy is always going to be important. It's about national security and economy and the foundations of a strong society. And besides that, it's really Biden's comfort zone. He worked in foreign policy a lot, not only in the Senate, but as vice president of the United States. I think foreign policy is going to remain important. Now, obviously, there, aside from Turkey, there are more pressing foreign policy issues. China, Russia, North Korea, Iran. But Turkey is important. Turkey is a factor, really, in relations with Russia, in relations with Iran. Turkey, of course, is part of NATO. So I think Biden is not looking to create new problems beyond the considerable list of problems that already exist with Turkey.
So he's going to have no choice then but to deal with Turkey, and despite all the problems at home,
he's got to deal with Turkey. Yeah.
Okay. I think I will challenge you there, Ellen. I'm very happy to hear that there's a US president that is willing to play a leadership role. But I think in 21st century, after the experience with President Trump, there will be more collaboration and coordination. At least this is what the EU has been waiting for. Even before the President Biden's inauguration, the EU has already published a document underlining the important issues for transatlantic relations for the coming months and years. They are very, in general, they are very much looking forward to collaborate and coordinate more on an equal level in foreign policy, in global challenges, and also for when it comes to relations with Turkey, actually.
Okay, raises a very important point. Europe may not be quite as receptive to the idea that the U.S. reflexively should be the leader as it used to be. But I think when we look back 2 years from now, we'll see that the U.S. is still the leader of the Western alliance.
But what are the main problems that we're really going to have to tackle over the next 4 years then?
Because of who Biden is, someone committed to human rights and to rule of law at home, there are going to be two major issues in U.S.-Turkish policy that haven't been there for a while. One is that a U.S. administration is going to be talking about human rights, which the Trump administration never did with Turkey. And second of all, there is a court case in New York starting on March 1st against one of Turkey's largest state-owned banks, Halk Bank, which is accused of conspiring to circumvent sanctions against Iran. It is quite likely that this case will end in conviction with a major fine against Halk Bank, and that is likely to have serious ripple effects on the Turkish economy. Erdogan begged Trump to turn this off. Trump tried. He couldn't. The judiciary is a separate branch of government. He also, when Biden was vice president, he asked Biden to try to nip this prosecution in the bud. Its origins goes back several years. Biden said, I can't do it. If I tried to do that, they'd impeach me. And we've had enough of impeachment here in the United States for a while. So anyway, I expect these two problems, the Halk Bank problem and the reinvigoration of U.S. human rights policy, to be problems in U.S.-Turkish relations within the first few months of the Biden administration.
I think the tensions in the Eastern Mediterranean will be on the table for a while. The cooperation on illegal migration management is going to be tackled. And I think there will be a bigger debate on where should Turkey stand and what should be the core framework of the relationship. And we will see a discussion about this between EU institutions and member states.
There are two very big problems in U.S.-Turkish relationship. that Biden inherits. For one of them, at least, he was there at the beginning, and that is the issue of U.S. support for the YPG in Syria. Turkey views that as basically U.S. support for the PKK. It's arch enemy.
American support for the Kurds is obviously a big problem for Erdogan, isn't it?
Yes, it's not only a support for the Kurds, but for the particular Kurdish group that the U.S. works with. This group was spawned by the PKK. It was originally set up almost two decades ago by the PKK as its Syrian branch. Why does the U.S. work with it? Because it is a very effective partner in fighting ISIS, and also in many respects in blocking Iran in northeast Syria. And the likelihood is, all indications are, the U.S. will continue to work with it.
And of the course, Erdogan views the PKK as a terrorist organization, to put it bluntly.
Of course, he views it as a terrorist organization. By the way, the U.S. also classifies the PKK as a terrorist organization. It's a very delicate balance here. The way the U.S. squares that circle is by saying that YPG, this Kurdish group I just referred to, with which the U.S. cooperates, is not any longer part of the PKK. From the U.S. point of view, the big issue is the S-400s, the air defense missiles that Turkey has purchased from Russia. From the U.S. point of view, it's very difficult to begin to repair the relationship with Turkey in any manner unless Turkey disposes of those two S-400 batteries, for which Turkey paid to the tune of $2.5 billion, about 10% of its defense budget, and commits to not buying weaponry from Russia in the future. From Washington's point of view, this is the number one problem in U.S.-Turkish relations.
So given all that, given all these problems that we've discussed, what concrete advice would you then give to policymakers in the EU when it comes to dealing with Turkey now that we have a Biden administration in Washington?
I think this is a $1 million question. A key issue for me is to define what are the areas of cooperation between the EU and the US when it comes to Turkey, because I think this is not clear. Sanctions? Will the EU follow the lead of CAATSA sanctions in the US? What is on the table? And secondly, I think the NATO is going to be a more important platform now that we have President Biden in the White House. So this means that Turkey should also come closer as an important NATO ally. So the EU should use this time very wisely to define what it wants as the member states and as the institutions from its relations with Turkey. I would say that focus, define your common European foreign and security policy in general, and when it comes to Turkey in particular, and look for concrete policy-oriented collaboration with the US. These would be my suggestions.
So, Alan, you know the Biden administration. You know how Biden thinks when it comes to Turkey. What advice would you give to EU officials, EU policymakers and decision-makers over the next 4 years, given the Biden administration, how should they deal with Turkey?
I think the U.S. counts on the European Union considerably to be the leader on human rights in Turkey. It's important for the United States to also be a leader, but this is bread and butter of the EU. And I think it's very important for EU leaders to focus on that. Secondarily, I would hope that EU leaders could arrange with Turkey an ongoing system to prevent any major refugee problems. Of course, they have an agreement like that in place, but it needs to be extended in order to avert another major refugee flow, which would cause instability in Europe, of course, would create problems for the United States.
Well, that leads me on to my final question then. I want you both to give me a prediction. So under a Biden administration, over the next 4 years, will Turkey grow closer to to Europe and the West, or is it going to grow further apart? What do you think?
I think it's so hard to predict 4 years in politics nowadays.
I knew you were going to say that, but I still want you to give me a prediction. I'm so sorry.
In Turkish politics, I think you can't even predict 4 months. But for me, I can go for an educated guess, you know? It is not an issue of getting closer or further. It's an issue of redefining the relationship. Current framework is not necessarily serving to have a well-functioning relationship. There will be a period of soul-searching in the coming months, and I hope that the EU will collaborate with the US very effectively and come up with a plan that will lead to a better functioning, a well-functioning relationship with Turkey.
If Erdogan remains president of Turkey for the next 4 years, things are likely to get worse. And I really think that Biden's first term as president could be a period of make or break in U.S.-Turkish relations and of Turkey's direction, whether it is solidly pro-Western or something else. I think it's very unlikely Erdogan will give up the S-400s. It's very unlikely he'll give up his vision of foreign policy independence, regional dominance without reference to the views of his allies, and playing Russia off against the West, even while remaining in NATO. And it's very unlikely that he'll cease resorting to authoritarian means in order not to risk losing power. So for all those reasons, I'm rather pessimistic. Now, if I'm right about all that, it's going to be very turbulent 4 years. Of course, I hope this prediction is 100% incorrect. But I should just mention that I think if Erdogan and the AKP are replaced by the opposition, Ankara will tilt much more in a pro-Western direction. AKP and Erdogan are solidly entrenched in power, but they face elections in 2023. It's difficult after nearly two decades of Erdogan to imagine a Turkey without him. But 4 years is a long time. And even the 3 years between now and the next Turkish elections are a very long time. Nobody thought that Erdogan's party was going to lose the mayorship of Istanbul, but it happened. Turkey remains a democratic culture and significant part, and there could be surprises.
Well, we've certainly seen that in the U.S. as well over the past 4 years.
Yeah, so, I know that, to use a cliche, one never knows what's going to happen in politics.
I think you're quite right there. Either way, a lot to look out for over the next 4 years. But for this week, that's all from the SWP podcast. I'd like to thank our guests, Dr. Ilkay Toygur and Alan Makovsky, for the fascinating discussion. And I'd like to thank you for listening. More information about future podcasts, publications and events can be found on the SWP website. And you can subscribe to this podcast on SoundCloud and Spotify. But for now, it's goodbye from me, Damian McGuinness, and please do join us next time.